Charles Moore, we will miss you. Charles leaves us soon to continue his education at the Louisiana State University in Red Stick, and so we wish you well in your continuing education, and you know these doors here are always open to you. We look forward to seeing you again. The scripture lesson this morning continues our sojourn through the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter, as we look at a very familiar story at verse 38. Short words, but powerful message. And so hear now God's word to you. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village, did Jesus, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Let us pray. O God, by your Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we're in the dead days of summer about now. Seems like everyone is on vacation, and what great vacations they have been. I lock into Facebook every morning and fly off in my imagination to wherever it is your photographs take me, from Italy to Ireland to Australia, and from New York to LA and to Hawaii, from the mountains to the cities to the beach. Many of you have gone away to rest and to restore, which is what summer is really all about, and I honor that. The very mention of the word beach and the word vacations brings me to Mary and to Martha, who doggedly reappear in our lectionary text every 3rd July. I wonder if any of you has ever taken a trip with someone who might be the Mary to your Martha, or the Martha to your Mary. My own experience in that regard has been poor. Now, I will admit to you that I resonate with Martha every time I read this text. She is the doer, the go-getter, the planner, everything has to be in its place, over-the-top OCD organizer and agonizer of detail who is never happy if she sees you over there on a hammock reading your Bible, lapping up to Jesus. You irritate her. She's not happy unless you are pulling your weight over at the church house. Martha has spunk. But whenever I go to the beach, I turn into Mary's clone. All I want to do is sit, read, drink lemonade, eat seafood, and sleep. Don't look for me in the kitchen because I will not be there. Well, once when our older daughter was little, we took a vacation down to Destin with one of my groomsmen, his wife, and their infant son. We had not seen them for a while, and we were looking forward to a week of sun and fun when, on the very first day, things began to deteriorate. By 9 a.m., Mike was standing at the condo door ready to play 18 holes over at Sandestin, and Kathy, his wife, was jingling her keys, waiting for the women and children to head for Silver Sands Factory Outlet. Cindy and I looked at each other with sleep in our eyes and said, "Later, we're going back to bed." By 4 o'clock, our friends were packing up their stuff at the beach, packing it up, and heading back to the condo because dinner out was at 6 o'clock, and in their opinion, we were burning daylight. Cindy and I looked at each other and said, "Enjoy, we're holding out for the sunset." And by day three, Kathy had lined up a babysitter of totally unknown background who may as well have been paroled from the Florida State Prison for all we knew, to keep our innocent toddlers while Kathy envisioned a night out with us on a dance floor in Panama City. Once again, Cindy and I looked at each other and said, "Pass me that book and a pillow." Well, by day five, it was clear that Mary was about to murder Martha, and this was before I knew Jesus, of course, and frustrated by our sloth-like approach to vacation, our friends sadly left for home 2 days early. We now get Christmas cards from them with photos of their family excursions, all five of them dressed in Under Armour and riding bikes and parasailing and throwing virgins into volcanoes at Machu Picchu and such. Martha and Mary may have been siblings, but I can tell you now that they never took a trip to the Redneck Riviera together because that would have done them in. Well, what is it in this text for us to learn today? When Jesus shows up at Bethany, Martha demonstrates hospitality by welcoming him into their home, the one that she shares with Mary. But she then busies herself with the tasks of servicing and making their guest at home. And although we're not told precisely what those tasks are that she is doing, if she is a Southern woman at all, my guess is that she began preparing a big batch of sweet tea and some kind of meat and three for him to eat. Well, meanwhile, Mary is sitting over at Jesus' feet, twirling her hair and pondering his words. Rather than joining Martha in the kitchen, she assumes the posture of a student, learning at the feet of a rabbi, a role in that time traditionally reserved for men, by the way. Well, this bucolic setting takes a very sharp turn toward trouble when Martha, who is distracted by her many tasks, looks up at Jesus and says, "Hey, Mitch, do you not care that my sister here has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." And for you psych majors, here we have a lesson in triangulation 101. Now, many people who read this story may cheer for Mary and her inversion of traditional female roles. Many of you may also empathize with Martha's resentment of her sister for leaving her to do all the work. But Jesus' response to Martha seems very much less than empathetic, chiding her for her distraction and worry, and praising Mary. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." The problem with Martha, friends, is not that she is busy serving and providing hospitality. Certainly, Jesus commands this kind of service to the neighbor many times in Scripture, in the Gospels, notably in the parable of the Good Samaritan that we looked at last week. The problem with Martha is not her serving, but rather that she is worried and distracted. The word here translated from the Greek for distracted means being pulled or dragged in different directions. Martha's distraction and Martha's worry have no room for the most important aspect of what we know as hospitality, which is gracious attention to the guest in front of you. In fact, she breaks all of the rules of hospitality by trying, it seems, to embarrass her sister in front of their guest and by asking him to intervene in a family squabble. She even accuses Jesus of not caring about her. Martha's worry and distraction prevent her from being truly present with Jesus and cause her to drive a wedge between her sister and herself and between Jesus and herself. She has missed out on the one thing needed for true hospitality, which is listening to your guest, especially when that guest is Jesus. So Jesus says Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. And I think Jesus' words to Martha can be seen as an invitation rather than a rebuke. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing." And that one thing for Martha, to receive the gracious presence of Jesus, to listen to his words, to know she is valued, not for what she does or how well she does it, but for who she is as a child of God. In our culture today, full of hectic schedules and the relentless pursuit of productivity, we are tempted to measure our worth by how busy we are, by how much we accomplish, or by how well it is that we meet the expectations of other people. All of that is sadly as American as apple pie. And to wit, many of you likely identify with Martha, feeling pulled in different directions and feeling worried and distracted by many things can seem commonplace to us today. And yet, as Jesus says in the 12th chapter of Luke ahead, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? We know worrying does no good, and much of what we worry about is not so important in the larger scheme of things, is it? Yet we cannot seem to quell our anxious thoughts and frantic activity. It's true that much of our busyness and much of our distraction stems from the noblest of intentions. We want to provide for our families. We want to give our children every opportunity to enrich their lives. We want to serve our neighbors. And yes, we want to serve our God. Indeed, where would the world be without Martha's? Where would the church be without Martha's? Those faithful folk who perform the tasks of hospitality and service, so vital to making the church as welcoming as it is in the form of a community. And yet, if all of our activities leave us with no time to be still in the Lord's presence, to hear God's word, then we can end up anxious and resentful of other people and with the kind of service that is devoid in us of love and of joy. Both listening and doing, receiving God's word and serving others are vital to the Christian life, just as inhaling and exhaling are to breathing. But how often do we forget to breathe in deeply? Trying to serve without being nourished by God's word is like expecting good fruit to grow from an uprooted tree. Well, Luke's story here is not finishing for us. It's left suspended. We don't know what happened next, whether Mary and Martha were reconciled, whether they were all able to enjoy the meal Martha had prepared, whether Martha was able to finally sit and give her full attention to Jesus, or if she simply scratched her sister's eyes out. We do know that Jesus invites all of us who are worried and distracted by many things to sit and rest in his presence, to hear his words of grace and truth, to know that we are loved and valued first as children of God, to be renewed in our faith and strengthened for service. There is need of only one thing: attention to our guest, who, as it turns out, is also our host, with abundant gifts for all. So here's what you need to know today. We all, each of us, have Martha in us, and we all have Mary in us as well. The challenge that we have as Marthas, as doers, is to do what we do for the upbuilding of God's kingdom, for the purpose of love and of fellowship and of hospitality that God intends. To be distracted from that goal means that our busyness becomes counterproductive and focused upon what we can get out of a situation or a deed, not what God can get out of it. For the Mary who resides in us, the challenge is to spend time at the feet of Jesus, yes. Staying still long enough to attend to the quiet voice within that directs and guides our lives. Retreating, especially in summer, slowing down long enough to hear the soft sound of those sandaled feet I've mentioned that walk beside us, urging us to a deeper relationship with him, summoning us to the knowledge there is something more for us, pulling us toward home. But do so remembering that the world needs you, that your actions are indeed an exposition of what you gain from your solitude, your time one-on-one with God. Remember that your deeds are as important to maintaining the engine of your soul as anything you will ever read or meditate upon or feel. This story, friends, is not put into Scripture to tell us that one way of being is superior to another. That's a common misperception about this passage. It is not here to tell us that both lead us in different directions. Rather, it is there to remind us that the attributes of both Mary and Martha are essential to the building of our faith, that both have value, that both take us to the foot of the cross. But they must, you see, be held in tension with one another to make of us the best people of faith that we can be. So, tell the Mary inside of you to enjoy her summer of rest and relaxation, whatever is left of it, because Martha has need of you in the kitchen real soon. Jesus loves them both, and so too should we. All to God's glory and honor and praise. Amen.